things out of the book of Proverbs on Sunday night. And so tonight I want to talk about the prudent man. Who is this prudent man the Bible talks a lot about? Really, the prudent man is the opposite of the simple man. And we're going to get into this here tonight. Let me just read one verse. You don't need to stand tonight for this. But verse 12, Proverbs 27:12, it says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Father, thank you that we could gather together tonight. It's good to be in church. Lord, it is so good tonight to be saved. It is so good, Lord. I'm so grateful and thankful that you paid it all on that cross. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed. Thank you, Lord, for our sins being washed away in your blood. We are a blessed people tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray and thank you, Lord, for this blessed book that you've given to us. Lord, this is your love letter from heaven. We pray that you'd bless now tonight as we go through some of these things here in this book. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the people of God here tonight, those that have come out on this evening, Lord. So many didn't have to come, but they made a decision to be here. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for that. We pray that you'd continue to be with us now and bless us and just meet with us around the Word of God. We pray for the Holy Spirit to work mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. The simple in the Bible is the undiscerning. Now, a lot of times we think that a simple person is somebody that is mentally challenged. And that is not what this word means. A simple person, by modern definition, is one who is somewhat, possibly we might so say that they might be a little slow mentally. But this is not what the Bible means by this term. We need to understand that. In the Bible usage, the word or the term "the simple" is one who is not careful and discerning. That's who the simple are in the Bible. One who is not careful and discerning. Someone easily influenced. Do you know anybody like that? Oh yeah, sometimes we can be somewhat maybe simple. But somebody who is easily influenced. "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." That's what Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says. So we need to make it a point in our own personal lives not to be the simple from the Word of God, but to be the prudent in the Word of God. And the Bible gives us the ability to do that. Look at Psalm 19. Go back to Psalm. We're just going to veer away from the Proverbs here just for a moment as we go over to the book of Psalms. Chapter 19, or the 19th Psalm. Look at verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. We sing this when Rich is here. We like to sing the Psalm 19, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. You ever do that, Lonskis? You do that, right? Amen. That's a blessing. I appreciate doing it. Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure." And then it says, "Making wise the simple." Making wise the simple. Look at 119. We just read from 119, but look at 119 and verse 30. Verse 30, 119, verse 30. The psalm writer, who I believe is David, wrote here, Psalm 119, verse 30, "I have chosen the way of truth." That is a good choice. That needs to be our choice tonight. Again, I love reading the Psalm 119, don't you? Isn't that a blessing to read every Sunday morning and Sunday night from Psalm 119? It says so much, but it says, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid, before me." So what happens when you lay the judgments before you? You can leave that simplicity and get into the prudence that we need to be as Christians. We need the prudence of God. Go over to the New Testament, Romans chapter 16, Romans 16. Romans chapter 16, look at verses 17 and 18. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts," what's it say, "of the simple." So again, remember, the simple is somebody that is not careful and discerning, somebody that is easily influenced. There could be, in our churches today, some people that would be classified or even labeled a little bit as the simple, because they run with every little wind of doctrine. That's why it's so important for us to be in God's Word every single day. Don't let the winds of doctrine of the day take you off somewhere where you're going to stray from the Word of God, stray from the things of God, stray from the will of God. But when you're in this book every single day and you're reading and you're heeding and you're applying it to your life, God will direct you. And again, this does not refer to somebody weak mentally or having a weak mental capacity, but a careless spiritual and moral even condition. Somebody that's careless when it comes to even morality. Boy, we look at what's going on in New York. We look at what's going on in Virginia. We look at what's going on across this country. And I'm telling you, it has got the attention. New York got the attention of the whole nation. The whole nation is talking about that. Every time you hear news or you hear what's going on, somebody is talking about the decision that was made in this state on January 22nd to allow late-term abortions. Virginia, I mean, they can deliver the baby and have it laying there on the table and they can stand back and just decide to kill the baby. There is something wrong.
Yeah.
Obviously, this country needs Jesus Christ. This country needs God more than ever. We are drifting, not drifting, we are progressing further and further and further away from the truth. And so we've got the simple, but then we have the prudent. The prudent is the definition. Webster says this about the prudent: cautious, circumspect, practically wise, careful of the consequences. That's who a prudent person is. A prudent person is somebody that is wise. They're circumspect. They stop and think before they make rash decisions. And we're going to see tonight, they stop and think before they even say things with their mouth. Boy, do we need that tonight. Many of us need that. I need that. I need to be more prudent when it comes to my tongue. I need to be more prudent when it comes to actions in my own life. The most prevalent quality of the prudent is their foresight, is what we saw here, going back to the text that we opened up with there in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. He can see what's coming down the road, you might say. And so the quality that we see of the prudent is their foresight. He or she is noted for their carefulness and ability to be observant in everyday situations and everyday life. A prudent person pays attention to what's going on around them and makes biblical decisions based upon what they see going on around us. What a prudent person does will pull Scripture from their heart and from their mind and be able to apply the Scripture to that situation that they're going through. There is a verse of Scripture for everything that we need in life. Amen? Everything. Everything we need is and most of them are right from the book of Proverbs. That's why we propagate reading a proverb of the day. Today was Proverbs chapter 3. They're all great chapters. And so we see that. The prudent is constantly learning. I'm so glad we started that Bible Institute here. We have 18 people in our Bible Institute here, brother. 18 people. I was talking to Scott Allis today about somebody, a friend up in Rochester that needs to get into a church, and he's only a mile from the church that Brother Allis is. But we were on the phone for quite a while just talking about all kinds of things. And he teaches in the institute that they have in their church, and he's the missions pastor. He directs all of the missions and things. And I told him that we have a Bible Institute. He's interested in looking into Faith Bible Institute. I said, brother, this is a tremendous, tremendous institute. It is so good. It's worth it. And it's so inexpensive to get involved in it. But we need to be learning every day. I don't know about you, but I'm learning in this institute. I'm learning. Brother Paul and I, we were just talking. There's, some things. He just brought up Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. He brought up about that thing with Mary. And I made a note in my Bible about it. Over there in Luke chapter 1. I thought that was really good. Well, you know what the Catholics believe with Mary, right? We all know that. But in Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, and I'm sorry, I just detoured off from Proverbs. Don't worry, we're coming right back. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, not above women. Wilmington brought that up, and I really like that. And I've read this, I don't know, countless times, and it never hit me. You ever read something countless times, and all of a sudden, oh, hey, I like that. I made a note about it. Among women, not above women. But you know what the Catholics do. They raise Mary above everything. Matter of fact, I don't know, a pope or two ago, literally elevated her to the fourth head of the Godhead. Fourth part, I should say, of the Godhead. She is now equal with God. She is equal with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Mary, I guess. That's where the Pope is elevated. I mean, the Pope is just a man like we are. Or a man like me and you. That's all the Pope is. He has no power to do any of that. Any of that whatsoever. It's sad when we know people personally that's locked into that religion that teaches heresy and teaches against the Word of God. But getting back to what we're talking about, they realized again that knowledge is gained at the present. A prudent individual, I'm talking about the prudent, they prove to be the valuable part of the future. We need prudent people in this church. I need prudence to guide this church properly and right. And I pray so often, God, give me your wisdom to lead, to be a shepherd to the people of this church and to lead the church in the right direction. So often I'm so, not afraid, but I'm just concerned. I don't ever want to lead the church in the wrong direction. Ever, 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 ever. I need prudence. And I pray that you would pray for my prudence as I pray for your prudence as we need it. Again, it's something that we need in our life. The prudent also contemplates the reproof that he or she receives to see what adjustments should be made to prevent the same thing from happening again. Some people can receive reproof well. Others, forget it. Don't tell me that I got to change my ways. I'm an old dog and I'm not going to change my tricks. Well, you're not very prudent then. You're more like the simple in the book of Proverbs. And so we need to, hey, you know what? We all need to make adjustments in our life. Don't we all need to make, sometimes we need to make some adjustments. Go through the Bible. Don't you see all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, you need to change that, buddy. You need to change that, ma'am. You need to go in this direction. Stop going in this direction. This direction is going to kill you. You need to straighten things out and you need to get on the straight and narrow again. And so we see that so often. And we need to receive and be able to make the adjustments that we need to make. A prudent man or woman does that. Being able to foresee and avoid problems and that are characteristics of maybe something we did in the past that we made a huge mistake on. I say mistakes. Not everything, and not every decision we make in life necessarily is a sin, but did you ever make a mistake in your life and you say, oh, I wish I didn't do that, and have to change some things? And you say, now, what God wants you to do is he wants you to learn from that mistake. He wants you to say, all right, stop, think about what you've done, and let's make some changes. Get it right. If it's a sin, get it right with God. Get back on the in the will of God again. All right, let me give you two quick things here tonight. Number one is the actions of the prudent. What do we see in the book of Proverbs that is some of the actions of a prudent person? The Bible makes it very clear. Let's take a look at, I'm just going to go to these verses. We're going to read them and then go on to the next. And I do have quite a bit of scripture. You can either write them down or if you can keep up, follow along. Go over to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16. I'm also going to give you some examples, some quick examples in the Bible of some people that we can learn from. And so the first thing that we see here in Proverbs 12 and verse 16 is an action of the prudent is a prudent person controls his or her temper. A prudent person controls his or her temper. It's been a long day, folks. Chapter 12, look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. That's a blessing. And so somebody do you know anybody like that in the Bible that was able to control their anger? How about Jesus Christ? I said that this morning, that Jesus got angry. He got angry more than once. Amen? But Ephesians chapter 4 says, be ye angry and sin not. Like I said, I'm angry at the way the country is going. I'm angry when our governor signed that bill, signed the gender bill and signed the abortion bill and other bills that he's signed and the boss bill and some of these other. That angers me, but not to the point where I want to sin. Where I'm praying for the man. I'm praying for Governor Andrew Cuomo. Save him, God, or just save him. I've got to be careful what I say. I don't want the Secret Service running in here. I want to see Andrew Cuomo saved. I want to see him saved. Amen. I want to see him saved. That's what I want to see. That's all I want to see is I want to see him saved. Amen. I want to see him come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to see from our governor and all the Democrats and all the things that's going on there. But we need to control our anger. A prudent man or woman learns how to control their anger. Look at, this amazes me, and there's so many verses on this, and we're not going to look at them all, but just Matthew 27 and verse 12. Matthew 27 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 12. Jesus is in front of Pilate. He goes to Herod. He goes back to Pilate. He goes in front of the Sanhedrin. I understand that he had seven different things that went on all that night. Seven different illegal trials, by the way, that Jesus Christ went through with Pilate, Herod, Sanhedrin, and all of that just back and forth all night long. And he was accused of all kinds of things. But what amazes me is when it says in verse 12 of Matthew 27, and when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Now, you accuse me of something false, I'm going to speak up and say something. I might even get a little hot under the collar. You know, you start accusing me of something that I didn't do, I'm going to make it very clear that I didn't do that. You know what Jesus did? Kept his mouth shut. You know what he could have done? He could have zapped them all right then. He could have just wiped them off the face of the planet. And then it says, and then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word. Insomuch that the governor, what? Marveled greatly. Pilate just stood back and said, this guy, there's something different about this man. We can accuse him of all of these falsehoods. And yet he just stands there and he takes it. Did Jesus control his anger? Yes. Was Jesus prudent? Yes. Are we supposed to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? Yes. He's our perfect example. And so when you're falsely accused, you don't need to yell and scream and hopefully you don't ever curse. Amen. You better never ever curse. Shame on you if you do. Amen. But sometimes we get upset. Sometimes we get angry. And yet a prudent person knows how to control their anger. Go back to chapter 12 again, Proverbs 12, and look at verse 23. Chapter 12, verse 23. Proverbs, keep a finger in Proverbs because we're always coming right back here. Proverbs 12 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 23 says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. This great example here is there are times that people will want to argue even a biblical position with you. They'll want to argue. They'll want to argue. They'll go up one side of you and down the other. And they think that they're right about everything. You ever meet anybody like that? Of course, we've all met people like that. A prudent man or woman knows what they believe and just quietly backs off and lets the person just do this. Just talk. Go ahead. Talk. Talk all you want. Because what does the Bible say they are? Acting like a fool. Yeah, he's acting like a fool. I mean, there are people like that. That verse, again, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. We don't have to go around telling everybody how much we know. We don't have to go around telling everybody we got all these degrees behind our name. We don't have to go around telling everybody, well, I got all the answers here, and I'm going to tell you what that means. I was talking to a gentleman on the phone today, and he says, hey, I want to pick your brain sometimes. I said, well, you probably won't find a whole lot there when you start picking the brain. He says, well, you know, you've been preaching a long time, you've been pastoring a long time, and I really need somebody I can just, talk to and get some advice. And I said, well, you can ask me all kinds of things, but I may have to say this, I don't know. I may have to say that to you, because I've had to say that to many a people. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And I used Sam Gipp as an example one time. He knows Sam Gipp. And I said, I was at a preacher's meeting one time, and Sam Gipp, somebody came. And Sam Gipp, I would say, would be considered pretty much a decent scholar. I mean, amen? Sam Gipp has read his Bible through hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. And somebody walked up to Sam Gipp and, you know, wanted to throw a verse at him and say, hey, what do you think this means, Brother Gipp? And Brother Gipp stood there and had a funny look on his face and says, I got to tell you, I don't know. I really don't know. I've never had that asked me, and I don't know what that verse, I don't know what it means to you, and I've never really studied that verse. And I was standing right next to him when he was asked that question. And I said, you know what? If Sam Gipp doesn't know some things, thank you, Lord, because there's a whole bunch of things that I don't know yet. But prudent man knows how to just keep his or her mouth shut and let the other person just do all the talking if that's what they want to do. And again, sometimes people want to argue over biblical positions and argue over a doctrine. Now, listen, if it's something that biblically they're wrong, I'm going to at least show them where they're wrong. But there's a lot of things in this Bible that we can have discussion on. There's a lot of things that we can discuss, and it could go this way or it could go that way. There's a lot of prophecies of things that we don't have all the answers to everything. Amen. Understand that. You've got your opinion, and I have my opinion, and you and I may opine back and forth on certain things, but it doesn't mean you're right, or it doesn't mean that I'm always right. A prudent person can just conceal the knowledge and just say, okay, that's fine. You know what? I love you too much to argue with you. I love you too much to just argue about this thing. And I think that there are times that we need to do that. And they may be right. Or they may be wrong. But a prudent person knows when to be quiet. You know, a prudent person doesn't need to have to be the winner in every conversation. There are some people that have to be the winner in every conversation, right? Your spouses ever get, you know, do you ever get an argument with your wife, your husband? Right? You want to be right. And don't we love those words? Honey, you were right. Don't we love those words? Honey, you were right. I crave those words at times. But there are times that we're just better off just being quiet. Just be quiet. Just, hey, I love you. Honey, you're right. Or, honey, we'll get into that. Or whatever. Or, yes, dear. Those are the two greatest words that anybody can ever say. But again, he or she does not have to be the winner in every conversation. That's a prudent man. Here's a couple more things. Look at chapter 13, verse 16. Chapter 13 and verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Look at 14:18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with what? Knowledge. Now, a moment ago I said a prudent man knows how to conceal his knowledge or her knowledge when needed. Again, you don't have to be the winner in every conversation. But also the Bible makes it very clear, and first of all, we talked about controls his anger. Secondly, conceals knowledge. Thirdly, gathers knowledge. A prudent person wants to gather knowledge. Listen, I'll be 65 in a couple of weeks. I've been preaching. This is our 29th year here at the church. In June, it will be 29 years, and I've been saved since I was 17, so I've been saved a long time, but I'm still learning the Word of God. And I love learning the Word of God. When the Lord gives me a new message to preach every week, it's saying, like, Lord, thank you, I'm learning something different I didn't know the week before. Sitting in on the Bible Institute, I'm learning from that. And a prudent person just admits that, hey, we don't know it all. Let's learn together. Let's have some times where we can learn things together. So a prudent person gathers knowledge. Look at 18:15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. And so we need to always be seeking knowledge. We need to always be wanting to learn. Not to puff yourself up. You know, learning... Paul said to the Corinthian church, knowledge puffeth up. So we need to be careful about all this knowledge that we get if we're not prudent with that knowledge. That's what Proverbs is trying to straighten us out on. If you just want to gain knowledge to make a name for yourself, that's going to puff you up and you're going to be filled with pride, and that's no good. But if you're gaining knowledge to be a better Christian, is that good? If you're gaining knowledge to be a better witness and a better testimony, is that good? If you're gaining knowledge to be a better Sunday school teacher, is that good? If you're gaining knowledge to be a better preacher, is that good? If you're gaining knowledge just to be a blessing to somebody, that's good. So be careful about that. Go over to 2 Timothy. I like what Paul told Timothy. Now, would you say that Paul was pretty knowledgeable in things? Absolutely. But even at the end of Paul's life, you know what he asked for? He asked for books. He wanted to make sure that books were brought to him. He wanted the parchments and he wanted the books. I mean, right up to the time in which Paul was going to lose his head, he was still asking for some of those things that would help him to learn from the Word of God and learn and gain knowledge. Paul wanted to do that. But he told Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15, you know the verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is study involved. Look at 3:15, 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He was admonishing Timothy. He was telling Timothy, Timothy, you from a child, you had a grandmother and a mother that constantly poured the Word of God into you. And it made Timothy a wise individual. And so a prudent man gathers knowledge. Let's go back to Proverbs. Look at 15. Here's the fourth thing that we see. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. This is a tough one here, folks. This is tough sometimes because of our pride. But it says in Proverbs 15:5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is what? Prudence. Prudence. We need to always take heed to reproof. If we are rebuked, or if somebody has to come and use reproof on us, if we need some correction. There's not a human being alive that doesn't need correction once in a while. Me included. Amen. We all need correction. Sometimes we need some reproof. A prudent man or woman receives the reproof, recognizes the error, let's say, of their way or the direction that they're going, and changes for the good. But our pride immediately puts up a huge wall and we say, we don't want. Don't tell me that I can't do that. Don't tell me. See, that's a foolish person. Somebody that thinks they know it all and they can't be reproved. I'll tell you, one of the greatest examples in Scripture is David in 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. David is king. He's committed adultery with Bathsheba. And God is very upset with David. Amen? I mean, God is going to deal with this situation. Matter of fact, God is going to act, this baby is going to die within 7 days, or about 7 days. God deals with this whole thing. Remember, you can't get away with sin with God. He will deal with it one way or the other. He always deals with it in His way. But in chapter 12, as you read the whole thing, Nathan gives this amazing correlation between this poor man that had this little lamb. And the Bible says in verse 3, you know, some of you people that love your dog so much, you consider your dog part of the family. Do you know that happened 3,000 years ago? In this parable. Now, this was a parable that Nathan was giving. But in chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 3, he says, and the last part of it, and was unto him as a what? A daughter. This little lamb, this ewe lamb, this little female lamb, you might say, was like a daughter to this man. Love this little lamb so much. Do you have a dog or a cat that you just simply love? How's your ducks doing? You love your ducks, don't you? Victoria loves her ducks. And people love their animals. And this man, it's in the Bible that this man viewed that little ewe lamb as a daughter. That verse says that that little ewe lamb was actually, he fed the little ewe lamb, the little lamb, from his own table. I mean, this guy would feed the lamb from his own plate. You ever feed your dog from your plate? We give our dog our plate when we're done. We put it on the floor and he cleans it so good, we just stick it right in the cupboard. It's that good. But, you love your animal if you have an animal. I'm not saying you love your animal more than your kids and your wife and your and God, obviously. But that's what Nathan was talking about in this when he was talking to David. And you know, he gets and the rich man comes in and has that little lamb killed and to feed the wayfaring person that's coming through. And then down in verse 7, and Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." You're the one we're talking about in this parable, David. Now Nathan, at that point, David could have had Nathan's head removed immediately. David could have had that man taken out and killed immediately for rebuking the king. Folks, you don't rebuke the king. You don't rebuke a leader. But David sat there and listened to the rebuke from the prophet because he realized it was from God. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." I would have given you anything you wanted, David. "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." You take a look at it in Scripture, and I'll tell you what, David sat there and took that whole thing. And what he did is he went and prayed for that baby for 7 days. He fasted and prayed and just begging for God to heal that child and allow the child to live. But hey, listen, when God makes a statement, he doesn't change. And that child died in a week. But David was able to take reproof. Would you say that David was a man of prudence? Absolutely. Some of you, some of us, and let me include the preacher up here behind the pulpit, some of us can't take reproof. Or it's very hard for us to take reproof. Very difficult because of our pride. David was able to take that. And it made him a better man for it. Good reproof will make you a better man, a better woman, a better young person for it. If you have some prudence there. Quickly, let's go back to Proverbs. I didn't keep my finger in Proverbs. Now I got to go back and try to find the book of Proverbs again. Proverbs 22. Give you a couple more here and we'll let you go. You're in no hurry to go anywhere, right, tonight? Amen? Amen? All right, thank you. Amen? Nobody's in a hurry. Do you need to know the score, Bob? Got right here. Got the score. You want to know what it is? No, I don't have the score. I don't care what the score is. I'm just teasing. That's all I'm doing is teasing.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. And they haven't been in since?
Well, 2003 they went and they lost
it. Oh. Carbon copy of. Okay. Well, we won't talk about that. Let's get back here. 22. Chapter 22, in verse 3. Is that what I said, or didn't I say anything yet? Okay, well, I'm saying it now. 22:3. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so we see here, I think fifthly, if you're keeping track, is also a prudent person foresees sin and stays away from it. Amen? You foresee the sin out there. You can see it in front of you. You're driving down the road and there are signs of warning all around us. There's a warning sign telling us you got to turn left, you got to turn right, you got to stop ahead, you yield ahead. There's warning signs around us. A prudent man sees those warning signs spiritually and realizes, hey, there's danger ahead. There's danger ahead. You shouldn't be looking at that stuff on the internet. There's danger ahead. You shouldn't be looking at stuff on your phone. There's danger ahead. You shouldn't be reading those kinds of books. There's danger ahead. You shouldn't listen to that kind of music. There's danger ahead. You shouldn't be watching those TV shows if you watch anything at all. You shouldn't be watching those movies. There's danger ahead. And yet so many times we don't foresee the sin. We say, oh, I can handle it. No, you can't. You cannot handle it. Most of us tonight, our name is not Joseph. And that's the example that I see. We don't need to turn there, but you know the example of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. He was tempted every single day by Mrs. Potiphar. Every day. I believe she was a beautiful woman, and I believe that she just kept tempting him and tempting him and tempting him. And just, what did Joseph do? He said, no, no, no. Listen, you're my master's wife. He's given me charge of everything in the house, but I don't have charge of you. And when she grabbed a hold of him and tried to get him to lie with her, what did he do? He ran away. He was thrown in prison for 13 years for that whole thing. But he always did right. There's a great example of a man filled with prudence. What a blessing. You foresee the things that are coming. You understand the dangers that are ahead. If there's a sign up ahead and you're driving 60 miles an hour and a huge sign up there and it's red, it says, bridge out. You don't keep driving. You put your brakes on, you turn, you follow the detour signs. Unless you're not too prudent, you drive right over the cliff. A prudent man understands the ways of God. Look at 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. You know what that way is in the Bible? It's a course of life. So often we see that, talking about the way. That's our journey road, folks. We're all on a journey road. You know that? We're all on a journey road. We're going down this life on this journey road, and we are traveling in hopes to get to our destination. You get in your vehicle, and you're going to leave here tonight. You're going to turn left or right. You have a destination. You want to get to that destination. You're going to drive down the road tonight, and you're going to try to get home, wherever that is. We have a course of life every day of our life. And a prudent individual understands that course of life and understands that this journey road that we're on, there are dangers, there are warning signs, we need to heed to them. An example of that is the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3. Amen. They saw the danger. They saw that thing was, what, 90 feet tall or whatever, that golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar was there. And they saw that, they heard about it, but when the music played, they didn't bow. They took a stand. For God. They were cast into the burning fiery furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than normal. And yet Jesus Christ was there with them. You know who was their superhero that day? Yeah. Jesus Christ. Kind of swooped right into that burning fiery furnace and protected them all right in there. If that isn't a superhero, I don't know what is. Amen. Amen. 8:12. That's what I preach on this morning. Superheroes. 8:12. Proverbs 8:12. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. A characteristic of a prudent individual has wisdom. Wisdom. Look at 16:21. 16:21. 16:21. This is our last verse. 16:21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increase learning. A prudent individual, man or woman, young or old, has wisdom. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Power to express the thoughts in a graceful language adds greatly to the value of learning. Know when to say, know what to say and when to say it. That is a prudent individual. Knowing what to say and when to say it. Listen, when it comes down to it, folks, we need prudence. We need to be prudent. The opposite of that is a simple person that just goes out and does anything he or she wants to do whenever they feel like doing it. You don't have a whole lot of wisdom there. You don't have a whole lot of prudence. And so we need that in our life. So how prudent are you tonight? Is there some areas maybe in your own life that, in my own life, is there some areas that we can make improvements on? Yes, there are. There's always areas that we can make some improvements on. Always. If there's no areas that we need to improving on, we'd be God. And none of us, we fall so short of God's glory every day. We need prudence tonight. Let me challenge you before we leave here is to make sure that when you're in this book and you're reading Proverbs every day or however you do your Bible reading, you make sure that you're gaining the wisdom and the knowledge that you need to be the best prudent person, husband, wife, parent, child, whoever, preacher, Sunday school teacher, to have some prudence. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for how it instructs us. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. If there's somebody here that's not saved, we pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. Lord, speak to every one of our hearts as Christians tonight. Help us to be more prudent in the areas of our life, more prudent in the way that we travel every single day.